With the frontier closed, another outlet was to be found for American emotions. Another diversion to distract attention from conditions at home, Cuba. Americans with property in Cuba were badly harassed.
Hell, I may as well sell all our Cuban holdings or give them away.
What's the matter, Gray? Having trouble with the Spaniards again?
Oh, the Spaniards are bad enough. But do you know how much those Cuban patriots wanted not to burn down the sugar cane on all our plantations?
How much?
$10,000.
They must expect you to finance their whole revolution against Spain.
Well, Spain made a mistake making hard-boiled Whaler governor of Cuba. Maybe he is a tyrannical governor, as our sentimental press is fond of saying he is, to stir up sympathy for the underdog Cuban. But by Godfrey, holding those so-called Cuban patriots up as martyrs, it makes me sick to my stomach. They're just as bad as Whaler is, every bit.
Well, if you have to continue to pay such enormous tribute to both the Cubans and the Spanish, you lose all the profit from your sugar plantations.
The American battleship Maine has been sunk in Havana Harbor.
Drive the Spaniards out of the New World. That's what I say, Mr. President.
But Mr. Roosevelt, even if it is true that the Maine was blown up by a mine, we have no proof it was a Spanish mine. It could have been a rebel mine, couldn't it?
Oh, nonsense. It was a Spanish mine.
As Assistant Secretary of the Navy, Mr. Roosevelt, I can quite understand your desire to prove the efficiency of your branch of the service.
If we go to war with Spain, Mr. McKinley, I shall resign from the Navy.
What?
I'll organize a troop of Rough Riders that will wipe every Spaniard off the island of Cuba.
I don't doubt you would, Mr. Roosevelt. But there is no necessity for war. General Woodford has cabled me that Spain is willing to make any restitution we demand, consistent with avoiding a revolution in Spain itself.
Oh, so Spain, the great power, is backing down, eh?
Yes. Spain is willing to grant Cuba independence, or even allow the United States to annex it.
Then now is the time to strike. Senator Lodge feels that we should not only have Cuba, but Puerto Rico and the Philippines, too.
But war with Spain is so unjustified.
The people want it. The press is screaming for it.
The yellow press. The jingo press, Mr. Roosevelt.
Call it what you want. The people are aroused, and Congress is waiting for you to ask for a declaration of war.
A war in which Congress expressly denied that the United States had any designs whatever on Cuba.
The charge of the Rough Riders up San Juan Hill, which made Teddy Roosevelt presidential timber.
The Battle of Manila Bay, which made Dewey a national hero. England our friend at last, and Germany disgruntled.
The destruction of Admiral Cervera's fleet at Santiago.
Victory and a peace signed at Paris.
I don't think that we should ratify this treaty. What do we want with the Philippines?
I agree with you, Senator. The people don't speak our language. They'll never be assimilated.
And the price? $20 million for the Philippines. They're not worth it. Why, that's $2 apiece for each Filipino.
As Senator Lodge has pointed out, we may have our individual objections, but it'd be an international disgrace not to ratify a treaty negotiated by our president.
Yes, you're right. We are a world power now, and we must keep face.
Cuba, given her freedom, on condition that we might have naval coaling stations, the right to intervene, and a veto over her diplomatic and fiscal relations with foreign powers. Puerto Rico and the Philippines, ours by conquest and purchase. And during the excitement, we had annexed Hawaii.
American sugar producers demanded a tariff on imports from the new territories. But how, under the Constitution, could this be done if the islands were part of the United States? It was for the Supreme Court to decide.
Congress has power to make for new territory laws different from those applicable in the United States. The islands appertain to, but are not part of the United States. The Constitution does not follow the flag.
We had had slaves. We had had rebels. Now over 10% of our population were subjects. It was growing harder to maintain the fiction of the free man, giving his free consent to a free government.
If the slaves were to do as the masters told them because they had the power, and the South was to do as the North said because it had the power, and our islanders were to do as we said because we had the power, why should not the little citizens do as the big citizens and the corporations said because they had the power?
Mr. Alexander Hamilton had led us a long way from Mr. Thomas Jefferson on his hilltop at Monticello.
March the 2nd, 1901. J.P. Morgan and Company announces the formation of the United States Steel Corporation with capitalization of $1,100,000,000.
The billion-dollar trust had come.
September the 14th, 1901. President McKinley dies from the effects of an assassin's bullet.
Theodore Roosevelt became president of the United States and its insular possessions.
What had become of the American dream?